This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater with Kelly Nugent, Lindsay K. Tai, and guest, Xander Jeanneret.
Hi, welcome to Public Domain Theater, the podcast of highbrow readings and lowbrow commentary. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay K. Tai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent, and we are joined today by a very special guest. You may know him from Geek and Sundry. From We're Alive Frontier, they just announced that season 2 is coming in October. From King of the Nerds on TBS, and from The Library Bards, a nerd parody band, we have actor, comedian, internet person, and professionally gay, Xander Jeanneret.
Yay! Oh. I'm so glad that last bit got in there.
Oh, I mean, you had a knife to my throat and said, include it.
Yes, it rhymes with my last name, you have to say it.
I will say, however, that grammatically you strayed from the exam. So what it should have been was professional gay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's
right,
true.
Right,
that's
right.
True. That's
as
true.
As title as opposed to
professionally gay. Professional gay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay, we'll fix it in post, right?
It's okay. This is a low brow.
It's going to be like, and professional. Like horribly cut
I'm
off.
Sorry, was that a slur?
Oh my God. This does not.
Kelly Nugent apologizes. Oh God. No, never.
No.
I never.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Very excited.
We're so glad to have you read a story with us.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
So when you were in high school, were you, I'm going to do all the reading, I'm a good kid, or were you like, I'm just going to do what I want?
Oh, very much a goody two-shoes. I did like extra reading on top of it. Like reading I got excited about. Like I would just devour, like I read The Hobbit in like fourth grade because I had.
Oh, that's a long book.
Yeah. Fancy and my dad was into fantasy stuff.
Oh, cool.
And so he introduced me to like nerddom. And I was like, what is this picture book? And I had a young picture book of telling the story of The Hobbit. And then he's like, this is the actual book. And I was like, ooh.
It's a really good gateway drug.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Great.
Yeah. And it set me up for, you know, like opening my window, letting the cool breeze in, putting on some classical music, and reading a book, a novel in my bed in like fifth grade.
I know. Oh my God. Were you wearing a cashmere sweater?
I might as well have been.
Oh my goodness.
With another sweater like tied across your shoulders.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And also a smoking robe and then like slippers.
Right after you took your morning constitution out.
Like, oh, that's me now.
Victorian walking stick. Yeah. Like you just had absolutely every little bit of like possible like pretentious.
Yeah. All of the accoutrement.
Apple pipe. Yeah.
All of the reading accoutrement.
Yeah. But it set me up to now I almost have to read before falling asleep. Like it's how I wind down and eventually fall asleep.
What's the kind of stuff that you like to read now?
Still into fantasy stuff. I've been dabbling into sci-fi as well, but I just finished Brandon Sanderson. He did the Stormlight Archives. And so that was a cool mix of like, it's kind of sci-fi, but kind of fantasy. He made his own world. And then I was on a kick of Patrick Rothfuss.
Got a King nod Killer from Brett. Chronicles. Brett approves.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Rothfuss. That's a mark against Rothfuss? You, Xander.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great series. And I think it's being made into a TV show with Lin-Manuel Miranda, I believe.
Oh. Yeah. Combining your two loves.
I know. Oh, it's all coming together.
Everything's coming up, Xander.
Fantasy and theater.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. So do we know anything about...
I don't even know the name yet.
Guy de Maupassant. Maupassant.
Are you saying more fish?
Les poissons. Les poissons.
No, I wasn't saying that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, shut the fuck up.
Oh, right.
I was talking. Okay. So we like to do this thing now because Lindsay's very good at doing this. She always gets two out of the four numbers right. What year do you think he was born?
Ooh.
Well, what year was the story written?
1884.
Okay. I'm going to say 1836.
I'm
going to
say 1860.
Ooh. Okay. You were closer.
Mm.
1850.
Split the diff,
sitting at 1850.
I was trying to put him as being older when he wrote it.
Right, but back then they didn't live very long.
No, that's younger. True. That's true. He was an old man.
The reason I did 32. That is because the last few times it was clear that they like lived way longer.
Yeah,
than I thought they had. Yeah.
Man, okay. And he died in, do you want to give it a quick guess?
Oh, shit. Okay.
1850.
1920.
No. Wow, you got three numbers wrong.
Okay, 18. I'm thinking. 1878.
I'm going to say.
Did he die young?
1869. Nice.
Nice. Both of you are wrong. 1893.
Oh, I was like, he wrote his book in my timeline and then just died. Then, like, instantly like 7 years later, I'm done. No more.
My life's work.
So we're going to be reading this book called the story called The Necklace. But first, let's get to know Guy. So he's a French writer. He's remembered as a master of the short story form.
I believe it is pronounced Guy.
Guy? Guy? Really?
No, I don't know.
Guy. Guy. He depicted human lives and destinies and social forces in disillusioned and often pessimistic terms.
Ooh, sounds like Dostoevsky.
But French.
You say we, but with like Californian.
Like, you know, like French-Canadian trash. Just kidding.
French-Canadian trash. You're going to get letters.
I know. We're going to get long-penned letters.
No, listen, only if you say way.
Just kidding. We love everybody here.
Sorry, we're not going to get through anything.
No, we are not.
It's okay. We do this every episode.
Okay, so here's a story.
A story before a story.
This is the story all about how Guy's last name became Dumb of a Song.
Wow, it flows.
It really did.
I didn't think it would,
tried.
And it, somehow we are alive.
We made it through.
So the de in French names is known as the particule and generally belongs... What? Brett, are you trying to teach us French right now?
More info than
and
we need.
Generally belongs to the aristocracy. Oh,
here we go.
Indicating land ownership, old money, etc. His parents, Gustave and Laure, were upper middle class and definitely well off, but were not members of the aristocracy. So where did the duh come from?
Oh, when that little
they
thief
married. Laure urged Gustave to obtain the right to use du Maupassant instead of just Maupassant in order to indicate noble birth. So Gustave researches his genealogy. He discovers a certain Jean-Baptiste Maupassant, conciliar. Why are you
consigliere
doing this?
To the
why did you include this? Just say they're important.
Listen, these guys are important.
He was important. Conciliaire secrétaire to the king, who was ennobled in 1752.
Did he fake that was like his uncle or
found it?
Guess what? He maybe
used it.
Based on this, he obtains a decree from the local civil tribune in the town of Rouen that gives him the right to style himself de Maupassant instead of just Maupassant.
Mm-hmm.
So after the birth of Guy and his brother Hervé, probably like Hervé or something.
Hervé.
Hervé.
Guy and Hervé.
I just love that everybody gets a French face when they try.
Yeah. And Hervé.
Gustave. Oh, no. Brett. Gustave became
a cat.
No, he's physically abusive towards Laure. She gets a legal separation from him. Good on you, girl. Raises the two boys herself. She says, goodbye. I don't need you.
Yeah.
Exposing them to the wonders of nature and classical literature.
Oh.
They graduate from college. Guy develops close friendships with many great writers of the age, namely Gustave Flaubert, who took Guy under his protection and acted as a kind of literary guardian to him.
They totally boinked.
They did.
Oh, nice.
100%.
Because he guided his debut in journalism and literature. Mm. They totally boinked.
Yeah.
Under Flaubert's tutelage, Guy develops into a successful and prolific writer. But the more successful he becomes, the more averse he grew to the social life of Paris. He liked solitude and meditation.
What an edgelord.
Okay, this next part is definitely Brett being like, but before you picture Guy alone in a cabin in the woods, keep in mind that most of his alone time was spent on his private yacht, the Bellamy.
Classic motherfucking bullshit, Lady Bountiful,
yes.
Fucking old bourgeois. School arts, bourgeois,
burn the rich.
Ideal as though you're living. Fuck Emerson. Oh, no, wait. Fuck.
I buy it.
Who wrote? Fuck Thoreau. I like
Thoreau.
Okay.
I like Emerson.
Thoreau is the fakey boy, nature boy.
Yeah.
Get this. Bellamy, that yacht, he named after one of his own novels. Guess what else? He hated the Eiffel Tower.
Oh.
Only the rich hate the Eiffel Tower.
It should be gold.
What? This is fucking crazy. So he ate lunch at the restaurant at its base, not out of preference for the food, but because it was only there that he could avoid seeing its otherwise unavoidable profile.
What a dick.
He's like, such a dick.
I don't want to talk to this guy. He'd be like, I only eat the Eiffel Tower because I don't have to see the Eiffel Tower.
It is the devil.
It is the worst.
I am the most French of all French.
Barry. So he and 46 other Parisian literary and artistic notables attached their names to an elaborately irate letter of protest against the tower's construction written to the Minister of Public Works. I bet you that guy fucking loved that.
Listen,
letter.
We are very important writers. We demand you tear this down.
I only have one place I can eat, and it is at the worst place, Eiffel Tower.
Have you
Mr.
seen?
Mr. Gorbachev,
tear this tower.
I imagine, have you seen from Arrested Development that and became a meme of like the wizards and the magicians and like we demand to be taken seriously.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I imagine with this. Just a bunch of like people in French berets and baguettes and a smoking.
Isn't it fun how you can make fun of nationalities when they're white ones?
Yeah.
It's such a relief.
It's really fun.
I personally love it.
Yeah.
It's my people. I'm allowed.
It's only partly mine.
I have like 20 of them all in Europe, so I can really dabble.
Guys, we have some sad news. Guy's later years, he gets a crippling fear of death and paranoia of persecution because he got syphilis. It was suggested that his brother, Hervé, also suffered from syphilis, and the disease may have been congenital.
Oh, so you might have had syphilis the whole time?
The whole time.
Is that how it works?
I don't know. As a...
Oh, through the
birth. He got it from Flaubert.
Oh, Flaubert. And then he's like, oh, it's congenital.
Well, if the brother had it too, either they were both.
But syphilis was everywhere.
Yeah.
It was like, you know.
He stepped into a syphilis puddle.
Yeah.
There's puddles of it everywhere.
That's my new album. It's coming out soon.
Syphilis puddle.
It's all in French.
It's so much accordion.
Oh, no. Very sad. Okay. January 2, 1892. He tries to commit suicide by cutting his throat. He's committed to the private asylum of Esprit Blanche at Passy.
Sure.
In Paris, where he died.
Did he succeed? It said he attempted suicide.
Well, so he didn't succeed at that time. He died in the next year. I don't know how he died. But his own epitaph is, I've coveted everything and taken pleasure in nothing.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
God. He finally had some like self-actualization right at his deathbed.
Right there, right there.
I should have liked the Eiffel Tower.
Oh my God. I was going to say, that is definitely the epitaph of a man who ate at the Eiffel Tower so he didn't have to look at the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Sad, sad.
Yeah. I enjoy nothing.
Yeah.
I don't like this food. And I don't like this tower. So I'll enjoy nothing about my lunch.
Mm. I only like my yacht.
And Flaubert.
And Flaubert. But why does he make me choose between him and the boat?
Curse you, syphilis.
Why? Congenital syphilis.
Oh,
sad times. Poor guy. Should we read the story?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure. I guess.
I don't know.
All right, let's begin.
I can't leave yet, so I
So this story is called The Necklace. She was one of those pretty and charming girls born, as if by an error of fate, into a family of clerks. She had no dowry, no expectations, no means of becoming known, understood, loved, or wedded by a man of wealth and distinction. And so, she let herself be married to a minor official at the Ministry of Education.
This sounds like the trailer for a like girl power movie. One girl out on her own.
Or like a rom-com and in the background, she says she's a beautiful girl. She's a beautiful girl.
She's like the pretty walking. One in a family of clerks.
She dressed plainly because she had never been able to afford anything better, but she was as unhappy as if she had once been wealthy. Women don't belong to a caste or class. Their beauty.
Their property. Is what he's gonna say.
Yeah, it is. Their beauty, grace, and natural charm take the place of birth and family. Natural delicacy, instinctive elegance, and a quick wit determine their place in society and make the daughters of commoners the equals of the very finest ladies. He doesn't get what life is like.
It's both complimentary and incredibly insulting.
Yeah.
Have you seen, there's this super cut of like rom-com clips, and it's a guy, always a guy, describing the love interest to another guy. Uh-huh. And she's smart, and she's funny, and she's beautiful. And it's the same thing over and over in every movie. And she's smart, and she's funny, and she's beautiful.
Really?
And she's smart, and she's beautiful, and she's funny. It's like over and over
those
and over again.
Those are the only things you can be, though.
And that's just what he did.
It is exactly what he did.
I thought for sure that was going to get followed up with every time. And like, she also, she eats meat.
She's not like other girls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She also, but like, she drinks whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's so cool,
she
man.
Like, she loves sports.
Yeah.
She can really like toss around a pigskin. Like, she can really like, toss it back with the guys. She like beat me up. She suffered endlessly, feeling she was entitled to all the delicacies and luxuries of life. She suffered because of the poorness of her house as she looked at the dirty walls, the worn-out chairs, and the ugly curtains.
Then why you let yourself be married?
Right? Or do something about it.
Do something. Run away.
Or fix your walls.
Like, yeah.
Paint some curtains.
Get some gauzy curtains.
Yeah.
All these things that another woman of her class would not have even noticed tormented her and made her resentful. The sight of the little Brenton girl who did her housework filled her with terrible regrets and hopeless fantasies.
Oh, that fucking little Brenton girl.
She dreamed of silent antechambers hung with oriental tapestries, lit from above by torches and bronze holders, while two tall footmen in knee-length breeches napped in huge armchairs, sleepy from the stove's oppressive warmth.
Girl, I was about to say.
Yeah, she's got tapestries and torches and stoves. Those things are up in flames.
I'm sorry. Also, that house is too hot.
Too hot.
It's too hot. She needs to just have some windows. Like, she hasn't even mentioned one window.
I was about to say, like, oh, girl was born to the wrong era. And then I was like, no, that's like what was happening.
Yeah, that tracks.
I was like, 1860.
She dreamed of vast living rooms furnished in rare old silks, elegant furniture loaded with priceless ornaments, and inviting smaller rooms, perfumed, made for afternoon chats with close friends.
Sex rooms.
Famous, sought after men who all women envy and desire. When she sat down to dinner at a round table covered with a 3-day-old cloth opposite her husband, who
3 days old,
ugh,
buy a new cloth,
lifting the lid off the soup, shouted excitedly, "Ah, beef stew!
What could be better?
Oh my God, please do not, Kelly. Please don't
she
do this to me.
She dreamed of fine dinners, of shining silverware, of tapestries which peopled the walls with figures from another time and strange birds and fairy forests. She dreamed of delicious dishes served on wonderful plates, of whispered gallantries listened to with an inscrutable smile as one ate the pink flesh of a trout or the wings of quail.
Ew. Jesus.
She's really? A lot.
She yeah. is.
She's never eaten a quail in her life. She doesn't know what she's asking
for. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
She's
small.
A bit much.
Yeah. She's a lot.
She's extra.
She had
to find extra.
She had no dresses, extra. No jewels, nothing. And these were the only things she loved. She felt
the things she didn't have.
That she did not have.
What's that for?
Oh my God, it's him with the fucking Eiffel Tower.
This is him.
Oh my God, the yacht.
And he's like, wow. Oh, if I had boobs and a vagina, this is what I would feel like.
Yeah.
He's like, this is what all women are like, right?
Right?
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
She felt she was made for them alone. She wanted so much to charm, to be envied, to be desired and sought after. She had a rich friend, a former schoolmate at the convent, whom she no longer wanted to visit because she suffered so much when she came home. For whole days afterwards, she would weep with sorrow, regret, despair, and misery.
Jeez.
One evening, her husband came home with an air of triumph, holding a large envelope in his hand. Look, he said, here's something for you. Lost the accent there.
I love the husband, though. He's just so excited about life.
He's having a great time.
Yeah.
He loves stew.
He loves letters.
Yeah. He's probably walking around with a jaunty hat all day.
Oh, yeah. Feathering it.
Kicking his step. Yeah. He's so happy. And he's like, I can't wait to get home to my wife.
Yeah.
You know, she makes great beef stew. We don't have a lot, but I love her.
We have each other.
Also, she's smart. She's funny. She's beautiful.
She tore open the paper and drew out a card on which was printed the words, the Minister of Education and Madame.
Yeah.
Georges Rampogneux requests the pleasure of Monsieur and Madame Loisel's company at the ministry on the evening of Monday, January 18th. Instead of being delighted, as her husband had hoped, she threw the invitation on the table resentfully and muttered, what do you want me to do with that? But my dear, I thought you would be so pleased. You never go out, and it will be such a lovely occasion. I had awful trouble getting it. Everyone wants to go. It is very exclusive, and they're not giving many invitations to clerks. The whole ministry will be there. She stared at him angrily and said impatiently, and what do you expect me to wear if I go?
I hate her so much.
I just really like that Kelly is giving the husband a French accent, and she sounds like just such a modern bitch.
I know.
He hadn't thought of that. He stammered, why, the dress you go to the seat in. It seems very nice to me. He stopped, stunned, distressed to see his wife crying. Two large tears ran slowly from the corners of her eyes towards the corners of her mouth.
Just two.
He stuttered, What's the matter? With great effort, she overcame her grief and replied in a calm voice as she wiped her wet cheeks. Nothing. Only I have no dress, and so I can't go to this party. Give your invitation to a friend whose wife has better clothes than I knew. He was distraught, but tried again. Oh, let's see, Mathilde. How much would a suitable dress cost? One you could use again on other occasions. Something very simple. She thought for a moment.
It's like, oh, great. Simple dress. Simple one.
I want Gucci.
I want Louis Vuitton. Computing the cost and also wondering what amount she could ask for without an immediate refusal and an alarmed exclamation.
She's so calculating.
Mm-hmm. She's a monster.
She's a monster.
She should run auctions.
Oh, she should. Without an immediate refusal and an alarmed exclamation from the thrifty clerk. At last, she answered hesitantly. I don't know exactly, but I think I could do it with like 400 francs. He turned a little pale because he had been saving that exact amount to buy a gun and treat himself to a hunting trip the following summer.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Buy a dress or a gun.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Let's get the dress.
Yeah.
in the country near Nanterre and with a few friends who went lark shooting there on Sundays. However, he said, very well, I can give you 400 francs, but try and get a really beautiful dress.
I mean, I am in love with this clerk, but like you don't like buy yourself something
different.
He can
just like go like, for a walk.
Just like hang out with the guys in another way.
Yeah.
Like you guys could just like go about town, like go see a theater thing. Like,
or some wallpaper.
Get some fucking wallpaper. Why don't you get the guys together and wallpaper the house?
Ooh, yeah. That's fun. Boys night.
Man cave.
Boys night in. Just like clean the whole fucking house. The day of the party drew near, and Madame Loisel seemed sad, restless, anxious. Her dress was ready, however. One evening, her husband said to her, wait, is this the same? Is this the same couple?
I would assume.
Madame Loisel, that was her, right?
Yeah, because that's who was invited to the party.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Her dress was ready, however. One evening, her husband said to her, what's the matter? You've been acting strange these last 3 days. 3 days.
Yeah.
She replied.
It's going to be so fun when it gets to me and I'm trying to do this.
I cannot do a French accent, so you're not
worried. Killing it.
Still way better.
She replied, I'm upset. I have no jewels, not a single stone to wear. I'm going to look cheap. I would almost rather not go to the party. You could wear flowers, he said. They are very fashionable at this time of year.
The jewels of the forest.
For 10 francs, you could get 2 or 3 magnificent roses.
God's jewels.
She was not convinced. Oh, I didn't realize. Sorry, Lindsay. I didn't realize I read the whole. Wait.
You're on
page 3. Oh, no. I'm good. So
you're
then
fine.
I
read
a
little more.
No. There is nothing more humiliating than looking poor in the middle of a lot of rich women. How stupid you are, her husband cried. Go and see your friend, Madame Forestier, and ask her to lend her you some jewels. You know her well enough for that. She uttered a cry of joy. Of course, I had not thought of that.
Oh, God.
The next day, she went to her friend's house and told her of her distress. Madame Forestier went to her mirrored wardrobe, took out a large box, brought it back, opened it, and said to Madame Loisel, choose, my dear. First, she saw some bracelets, then a pearl necklace.
I don't know why I'm friends with you, but choose, my dear.
Makeover.
Say she's a beautiful girl.
She's a beautiful girl. And this is like montage. Na, na, na,
na, and she's just like disapproving or nodding.
Yeah, or like, yeah.
Yeah.
Then a gold Venetian cross set with precious stones of exquisite craftsmanship. She tried on the jewelry in the mirror, hesitated, could not bear to part with them to give them back. She kept asking,
give them back.
Yeah.
She kept asking, you have nothing else?
Oh my God.
This fucking bitch. I can't even with her.
Hello, Public Domain Theater listeners. This is Kelly. I wanted to take a quick break from our show. Hello, Public Domain Theater listeners. This is Kelly. I wanted to take a quick break from our show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. There is something for everyone with HelloFresh's selection. You can choose from classic, veggie, and family. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated, trusted sources. Family dinners are fuss-free with HelloFresh's picky eater, kid-tested, and approved family plan recipes. Each week, there's a 20-minute meal on the classic menu for when you really don't have more time with that. Oftentimes, I am so hungry because I don't make plans to cook dinner on time, and I just end up getting fast food or, you know, not eating, frankly, which is not great. But luckily, there's no excuse. You can literally just take this stuff out of your fridge and cook a really delicious meal for a really affordable price and really quick. And you get to rediscover the excitement of cooking. You can look forward to your HelloFresh delivery knowing that dinner just got that much easier. You can feel confident when cooking HelloFresh with the simple recipes outlined on the pictured step-by-step instruction cards. You get global eats. You can bring authentic international dishes and flavors to your own home. And so you can try exciting new recipes. You can enjoy not having to plan dinner, spending money on takeout for an easy night, or worry about gathering ingredients week after week. It's all done for you. So all you have to do is have fun cooking delicious meals. Cooking
should be simple and convenient, not a chore. And this is something that HelloFresh believes. All the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits, so you know which ingredients go with which recipe. And you don't have to spend all night in the kitchen because the recipes only take around 30 minutes. They're delivered right to your door in recyclable, insulated packaging. And there are a lot of one-pot recipes for seriously speedy cooking and minimal cleanup. Y'all, let me tell you, that is like one of the most important things for me because cleaning up is my least favorite thing to do ever. And so it's so nice to be like, oh, everything in one pot, only have to clean one thing. Thumbs up. Eat out of that pot. Don't use plates. Eat out of that pot. Live out of that pot. Also, there are so many benefits of subscribing. So you can keep enjoying HelloFresh week after week. You spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping each week and get that time back to do more of what you really love. Get out of your cooking comfort zone because you can discover new delicious recipes in each week's box. There are delicious, delicious recipes. We've got hits like harissa sweet potato pita pockets with cucumber dill salad, pulled pork fiesta bowls, quick beef ragu spaghetti, pork carnitas tacos. And then we've got family-friendly recipes like figgy balsamic chicken legs, shake it up pork cutlets, flatbreads, pasta, bowls, tacos, everything that you could ever dream of trying to cook, you can cook it with HelloFresh. So you're wondering, how do I get on board? For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/public60. That's HelloFresh.com/public60. And enter promo code public60. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/public60 and enter promo code public60. That's public, P-U-B-L-I-C, 60, for a total of $60 off. That's $20 off your first three boxes. It's like receiving six meals for free. So get your booty out there and get yourself some delicious meals that you can cook at home and impress everybody in your life. And now, back to the show. To talk to you about one of our sponsors, HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. There is something for everyone with HelloFresh's selection. You can choose from classic, veggie, and family. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated, trusted sources. Family dinners are fuss-free with HelloFresh's picky eater, kid-tested, and approved family plan recipes. Each week, there's a 20-minute meal on the classic menu for when you really don't have more time with that. Oftentimes, I am so hungry because I don't make plans to cook dinner on time, and I just end up getting fast food or, you know, not eating, frankly, which is not great. But luckily, there's no excuse. You can literally just take this stuff out of your fridge and cook a really delicious meal for a really affordable price and really quick. And you get to rediscover the excitement of cooking. You can look forward to your HelloFresh delivery knowing that dinner just got that much easier. You can feel confident when cooking HelloFresh with the simple recipes outlined on the pictured step-by-step instruction cards. You get global eats. You can bring authentic international dishes and flavors to your own home. And so you can try exciting new recipes. You can enjoy not having to plan dinner, spending money on takeout for an easy night, or worry about gathering ingredients week after week. It's all done for you. So all you have to do is have fun cooking delicious meals. Cooking should be simple and convenient, not a chore. And this is something that HelloFresh believes. All the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits, so you know which ingredients go with which recipe. And you don't have to spend all night in the kitchen because the recipes only take around 30 minutes. They're delivered right to your door in recyclable, insulated packaging. And there are a lot of one-pot recipes for seriously speedy cooking and minimal cleanup. Y'all, let me tell you, that is like one of the most important things for me because cleaning up is my least favorite thing to do ever. And so it's so nice to be like, oh, everything in one pot, only have to clean one thing. Thumbs up. Eat out of that pot. Don't use plates. Eat out of that pot. Live out of that pot. Also, there are so many benefits of subscribing. So you can keep enjoying HelloFresh week after week. You spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping each week and get that time back to do more of what you really love. Get out of your cooking comfort zone because you can discover new delicious recipes in each week's box. There are delicious, delicious recipes. We've got hits like harissa sweet potato pita pockets with cucumber dill salad, pulled pork fiesta bowls, quick beef ragu spaghetti, pork carnitas tacos. And then we've got family-friendly recipes like figgy balsamic chicken legs, shake it up pork cutlets, flatbreads, pasta, bowls, tacos, everything that you could ever dream of trying to cook, you can cook it with HelloFresh. So you're wondering, how do I get on board? For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/public60. That's HelloFresh.com/public60. And enter promo code public60. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/public60 and enter promo code public60. That's public, P-U-B-L-I-C, 60, for a total of $60 off. That's $20 off your first three boxes. It's like receiving six meals for free. So get your booty out there and get yourself some delicious meals that you can cook at home and impress everybody in your life. And now, back to the show.
Why, yes, but I don't know what you like. Suddenly she discovered, in a black satin box, a superb diamond necklace, and her heart began to beat with uncontrolled desire. Her hands trembled as she took it.
She's hornier for that necklace than she's ever been for her dumpy husband.
Aww, but I love the husband.
I love the husband, too.
He's too good for her.
Here's the thing. He needs to find someone that will appreciate him.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. She fastened it around her neck over her high neck dress and stood lost in ecstasy as she looked at herself. Then she asked anxiously, hesitating,
"Would you let me this? Just this?
How dare?"
Yeah.
What? Yes, of course. Oh. She threw her arms around her friend's neck, embraced her rapturously, and fled with her treasure.
That's nice.
Everybody in her life is too good for her.
Yeah.
She sucks.
That's how she like got away
person.
With it.
It's true because everyone's too nice. Yeah. No one's like, you need to stop. Nice. Yeah. You're not a good person.
Reality
yeah,
check.
You have to call your friends on their shit. Otherwise, you're not their real friend.
It's mm-hmm. true.
The day of the party arrived. Madame Loisel was a success. She was prettier than all the other women, elegant, gracious. Ooh, she's Scarlett O'Hara, y'all.
Yeah.
Smiling and full of joy. All the men stared at her, asked her name, tried to be introduced. All the cabinet officials wanted to waltz with her.
Oh, what's husband doing? I'm so sad for him.
I want
he's just
cut
like
to him
eating
at the buffet.
Beef stew. Yeah.
He's like, I love beef stew.
He's like cracking open a crab leg. Yeah. He's having a blast. He's like, oh, this is a Vegas buffet, man.
Yeah. Oh, my wife is having so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, he's just happy.
Yeah.
The minister noticed her.
Shit, the fucking minister?
No.
Is he about to break his vow of celibacy?
No.
Oh my God,
girl.
Who even knows?
No, God.
She danced wildly with passion, drunk on pleasure.
She's
forgetting everything.
She's so embarrassing right now. She's
she is,
like,
she's the Elaine she's dance from Seinfeld, like thumbs up kicking.
In her mind, it's like, la, la, yeah. la. And like, we cut to her doing that.
She's in like a muslin dress with a diamond necklace. Like, this is all I can afford.
Her hair is like a little disheveled. She's like sweaty because she's been drinking too much.
Yeah, but like all champagne.
Like, twisting like, to the side.
Petalless roses like in her hair.
Everyone
I'm prettier than
her.
Everyone.
Everyone said I'm the prettiest.
Everyone noticed me. Did you notice that fucking bitch?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
I noticed her.
More like Loimus. And someone's like, that was a stretch, Karen.
They're like, Karen, you're so bad.
I said it. I went there.
In the glory of her success, in a sort of cloud of happiness, made up of all this respect, all this admiration, all these awakened desires, so that sense of triumph that is so sweet to a woman's heart. She left at about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Dang! Whoa!
Night
it
owl.
Gets worse, you guys.
What? Oh.
Her husband had been
10.
Dozing since midnight in a little deserted anteroom with three other gentlemen whose wives were having a good time.
Oh, you know what they were up to.
Oh, shit. They were so
just guys
like,
being dudes.
Yeah, just dudes. They were wallpapering the room.
They're like, come on, George, why didn't you get the gun? It's the only gun between us.
We're all going to share it as three best friends.
Out to the woods in our completely separate, different kind of movie.
I guess we can share the dress.
He threw over her shoulders the clothes he had brought for her to go outside in, the modest clothes of an ordinary life, whose poverty contrasted sharply with the elegance of the ball dress. She felt this and wanted to run away so she wouldn't be noticed by the other women who were wrapping themselves in expensive furs. Loisel held her back. Fuck.
Wait a moment, you'll catch a cold.
Oh my God, every time
it turns
so
Russian.
So good.
You'll catch a cold outside. I'll go and find a cab.
I will pay 50 rubles.
Borscht.
Yes, who is your friend?
St. Petersburg is gloomy. I'm saying that's my name's Blake. I'm missing that
Anastasia,
whole
it's me.
Grandma.
It's me.
All right, the accent will be what it will be.
Sure. It will be. What will be, will be. Kiss her off.
But she would not listen to him and ran down the stairs.
Oh, shit.
When I was young, and I was just a little girl, my mother used to say to me. When they were finally in the street, they could not find a cab and began to look for one, shouting at the cabmen they saw passing in the distance. They walked down toward the Seine in despair, shivering with cold. At last, they found one on the quay, one of those old night cabs that one sees in Paris only after dark, as if they were ashamed to show their shabbiness during the day. They were dropped off at their door in the Rue de Martyrs.
Yep.
Yeah, and sadly, that's our favorite place.
Rue de Martyrs. And sadly... Rus des Martyrs.
Oh,
and
God.
Sadly walked up my steps would say that. To their apartment. It was all over for her.
Oh.
And he was remembering that he had to be back at the office at 10 o'clock. Mm. In front of the mirror, she took off the clothes around her shoulders, taking a final look at herself in all her glory. But suddenly she uttered a cry. She no longer had the necklace around her neck.
Oh, my God. This is Ocean's 8.
And Cinderella.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Where's that damn necklace?
What is the matter?
Oh, asked great. Her husband. So many already have dressed. So
I love that. Wow, it went so well that time.
I love that one.
She turned toward him, panic-stricken. I no longer have the necklace.
What is she saying?
She no longer has the necklace.
Oh, okay.
He stood up, distraught.
What? How? That's impossible.
Ooh.
Oh, it's Spanish. Yeah. He's trying. He's like doing Duolingo.
You know what?
Right now.
I'm too worldly to restrict myself to but one accent.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see languages, so.
They looked in the folds of her dress, in the folds of her cloak, in her pockets, everywhere.
Boobs, check the boobs. It's always in the boobs.
Her cleavage.
She does have ample bosom.
Yeah.
But they could not find it.
Shit.
Are you sure you still have this on when you left the ball?
He's like,
he has asthma now.
He's like, I had so much milk earlier today. I'm so sorry. How dare you? How dare you? I am doing my
best. You are killing it.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's entertaining me, and that's what's important.
Yeah. Yes, I touched it in the hall at the ministry.
Oh, but if you had lost it in the street, we would have heard it.
Oh,
it must be in the cab.
I suspect the cab. That's where
cab.
I would go.
I think the cab.
Yes, that's probably it. Did you take his number?
Wait, why would he take his number?
I don't know.
You know, for later.
Oh, for wallpaper later. In the house. In the
well, yeah.
No. And you didn't notice it?
No. Oh. They stared at each other, stunned. At last, Loisel put his clothes on again.
Wait, why were they off?
Well, they were home.
They were getting bad. Getting in bed.
Oh, they're in bed. Yeah. I thought they were still on the
street. She
took
all her clothes off, and then she noticed there's no necklace.
Oh, sorry.
They're getting into their separate twin beds.
Right.
It's the 1800s.
It's the 1800s.
You don't want to get settled.
Yeah, you only sleep in separate twin beds or like a stack of hay. Yeah.
Especially in France, which is like notoriously Puritan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back, he said. Over the whole route we walked. See if I can find it.
Oh, husband!
He left. She remained in her ball dress all evening without the strength to go to bed.
Oh, what?
Wait, so she's too tired to go to bed?
Sitting on a chair.
Oh, sitting on a chair
with no fire.
Oh, she's
mind blank.
Poor girl. No fire.
Her husband returned at about 7 o'clock. He had found nothing.
Oh, my God.
He went to the police, to the newspapers to offer a reward. To the cab companies, everywhere the tiniest glimmer of hope led him.
Can you imagine being the friend opening the newspaper the next day of like, reward, lost diamond necklace. Oh, what?
Sacre bleu.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
Madame Rousseau.
She waited all day in the same state of blank despair from before this frightful disaster. Rousseau returned in the evening, a hollow, pale figure. He had found nothing.
You must write to your friend, he said.
Oh,
tell her you have broken the clasp of her necklace.
Oh, shit.
And that you are having
having it mended.
Ooh, what a web of lies we're weaving.
That is also very bold considering the newspaper.
Exactly. That's, and he's told everyone
he's
around
told
town.
Everyone around
like,
town.
Obviously, she lives close.
And also, cabbies. Cabbies love to talk.
Yeah.
And they're mm-hmm. traveling all over the place.
She's going to be in like all the hairdresser the and yeah. hear it from them.
Yes. And then the lie will come forward. I'm scared. I'm scared about what's going to happen. I'm afraid.
She's going to go on a murderous rampage.
Yeah.
This is very suspenseful. It will give us more time to look some more.
Oh, my God.
At the end of 1 week, they had lost all hope.
Oh.
And Loisel, who had aged 5 years, declared...
Oh, so she's almost dead.
We must consider how to replace the jewel. The next day, they took the box which had held it and went to the jeweler whose name they found inside.
Oh.
He consulted his books.
Oh, no. It's going to be so expensive.
It was not I, madam, who sold the necklace. I must simply have supplied the case.
Oh,
and so they went from jeweler to jeweler looking for a necklace like the other one, consulting their memories, both sick with grief and anguish. In a shop in the Palais Royal, they found a string of diamonds, which seemed to be exactly what they were looking for. It was worth 40,000 francs.
Jesus
Christ.
They could have it for 36,000.
Oh, deal. What a steal.
Property brothers.
So they begged the jeweler not to sell it for 3 days. And they made an arrangement that he would take it back for 34,000 francs if the other necklace was found before the end of February. It's very complicated.
This is extremely complicated. And how are they going to get this money?
I don't know. Loisel had 18,000 francs, which his father had left him.
Oh,
he would
no.
borrow the rest.
This is, oh my God,
he's going into super
Go
debt.
To the friend.
Yeah.
Talk it out.
Yeah.
Because she was just casually like, plan. Have a necklace.
Yeah. She had so much jewelry. I bet you she'd be like, oh, no problem.
Yeah.
I bet you she found it. She's like walking around wearing it
mine.
Every day.
Oh, my necklace.
Oh, cool.
And he did borrow. Asking for 1,000 francs from one man, 500 from another, 5 louis here, 3 louis there.
Oh.
He gave notes, made ruinous agreements,
oh
dealt
my
with
God.
Usurers. Usurers?
Oh, God.
Dealt with usurers.
Mm.
With every type of moneylender. He compromised the rest of his life, risking signed notes without knowing if he could ever honor them.
This husband is breaking my dang heart. Mm-hmm.
And terrified by the anguish still to come. By the black misery about to fall on him, by the prospect of every physical privation and every moral torture he was about to suffer, he went to get the new necklace and laid down on the jeweler's counter 36,000 francs.
No,
don't clerk.
Yeah. When Madame Loisel took the necklace back, Madame Forestier said coldly, "You should have returned it sooner. I might have needed it."
Rude. She doesn't even know what they went through.
No. To the relief of her friend, she did not open the case. If she had detected
she was
the
trying to just get away with this.
Yeah,
holy
like, here's your necklace.
Shit.
Don't open it. Bye.
Gotta go.
If she had detected the substitution, what would she have thought? What would she have said? Would she have taken her friend for a thief?
Oh.
Now I'm having doubts that she really lost the necklace.
Oh, I didn't think she had this
she
whole time.
She done kept it for herself
yeah,
and made her
she
husband.
Did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She a bitch.
From, oh, shit.
From then on, Madame Loisel knew the horrible life of the very poor, but she played her part heroically.
Of course. So she kept that fucking necklace. She
just wanted to remember the night and wear it and look at herself. Mm-hmm. That little cunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we throw that word
out. Wow.
Yeah, we do say it a lot.
The dreadful debt must be paid. She would pay it. They dismissed their maid.
Oh, God.
They changed their lodgings. They rented a garret under a roof. She came to know the drudgery of housework, the odious labors of the kitchen. She washed the dishes, staining her rosy nails on greasy pots and the bottoms of pans.
Wearing the necklace all the while.
Yeah, right? It's in her prison wallet. She washed the dirty linen, the sheets, and the dishcloths, which she hung to dry on a line. She carried the garbage down to the street every morning.
Oh, my God.
Carried up the water.
Sacrifice.
Stopping at each landing to catch her breath. And, dressed like a commoner, she went to the fruitiers, the grocers, the butchers, her basket on her arm, bargaining.
Candlestick makers.
Yeah. Marie, the baguettes. Hurry up.
Do. Yeah. I couldn't remember the lyrics, so I just went
there
with
that. There goes
the baker with his tray
like always.
That's about as much as we can sing without getting sued. bargaining, insulted, fighting over every miserable sou. I guess that's like the penny of France.
Wait, so question, did she sell her dress?
It doesn't seem like it.
Okay, rude.
That's what she probably
puts
done.
It on every
she wants
night.
To put the whole outfit on.
Yeah.
And then she just like goes up to the mirror full and illusion. Makes out with herself.
Yeah.
Like,
you're so rich.
You rich bitch.
You're so nervous.
Oh my God. Her husband worked every evening doing accounts for tradesmen and often late into the night. He sat copying a manuscript at 5 sous a page.
Oh my God.
And this lifestyle lasted 10 years.
What?
Time jump.
At the end of 10 years, they had paid off everything. Good for them. I haven't paid off my student loans.
No, that's crazy. 10 years, they paid off all of that. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's really impressive.
Everything.
I have not paid off my student loans either.
At the usurer's rates and with the accumulations of compound interest. Good for them.
What? Impressive.
Madame Luzel looked old now. Mm. She had become strong, hard, and rough like all women of impoverished households.
Fucking worth it.
With her hair half combed, with skirts awry and reddened hands, she talked loudly as she washed the floor with great swishes of water. But sometimes, when her husband was at the office, she sat down near the window and thought of that evening at the ball so long ago when she had been so beautiful and so admired. What would have happened had she not lost that necklace? Who knows? Who knows?
All right.
How strange life is. How fickle. How little is needed for one to be ruined or saved. One Sunday, as she was walking in the Champs-Élysées to refresh herself after the week's work, suddenly she saw a woman walking with a child. It was Madame Forestier, still young, still beautiful. Still charming.
Magic necklace.
Madame Loisel felt emotional. Should she speak to her? Yes, of course. And now that she had paid, she would tell her all. Why not? She went up to her. Good morning, Jean. I don't know which... Oh, this is her. Good morning, Jean. The other, astonished to be addressed so familiarly by this common woman, did not recognize her. She stammered... But, madame, I do not know. You must have a mistake.
No, I am Mathilde Loisel.
Her friend uttered a cry.
Oh, my poor Mathilde, how you've changed.
Yes, I had some hard times since I last saw you. Many miseries. And all because of you.
Oh, what?
It is not
me?
Her fault.
How could this be?
You remember that diamond necklace that you lent to me to wear to the ministry party?
Yes. Well?
Well, I lost it.
What do you mean? You brought it back.
I brought you back another exactly like it. And it's taken us 10 years to pay for that shit. It wasn't easy for us. We had very little. But at last it is over. And I am very glad.
Madame Forestier was stunned. You say that you bought a diamond necklace to replace mine?
Yes, you didn't notice then? Then they were very similar.
Oh my God.
And she smiled with proud and innocent pleasure.
No.
Madame Forestier, deeply moved, took both her hands. What a twist. I did not see this coming. Twist. Oh, she my poor Mathilde. Shit. Mine was an imitation. It was worth 500 francs at most.
Oh, my fucking God.
Never keep secrets from your friends. Always discuss. Always discuss. Always discuss a problem with your friend. You
just get it out of the open.
You go to her and you're like, oh, my God, I lost your necklace. What will it take?
I'll
make this right.
Because then you can find out the actual cost.
Yeah.
No,
but now.
Her whole fucking life.
Shocking.
If I was her, I'd be like, give it the fuck back. I'm going to sell this again for $36,000 and live a good life for the rest of my life.
She's just been walking around with a necklace that cost 36,000 francs.
Thinking it was worth 500.
She's like, oh, I gave that to my daughter.
I use that to clean my fucking toilet.
Yeah. I wiped my butt with that.
Oh my God. None of our predictions came true.
I did not see that coming at all. Holy shit.
She became kind of a better person.
She did become a better person.
She had to work hard and she felt guilty. And
she buckled down and she did it.
She did it. And her husband got a you know, a better companion out of that.
Yeah,
and
I'm
really
sure she was
a terrible life of nonstop work.
It's true. And he probably had like generalized anxiety disorder for like many years.
But at least she wasn't lying to him.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's
that,
true.
That would have been the worst. And I like that we all assumed that of her.
We did assume that she kept that fucking necklace, but she didn't.
Yeah, she didn't. No. I thought at night she would just put it on and admire herself.
Right.
So like at the end, really, her voice would have sounded more like,
diamonds. I haven't had diamonds
in
10 years.
Back another exactly like it, and it has taken us 10 years to pay for it.
I scrub toilets for a living to buy you this necklace.
I'm Harvey.
My arms, my arms are wiry and strong
Tracy.
Now. Oh my god!
Wow, that was a roller coaster.
I actually liked that story. I was like, dang, what's going to happen?
As women, do you think that he kind of caught the what it was like to be like a 19th century woman?
I mean, well, as a 19th century woman, I don't know. Like, she's certainly a certain type of woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that type would exist now. And I think it's probably, I'm fine with it because it certainly, well, there was more than one woman.
Yeah, and they had conversations
it
without
a man. It passes the Bechdel test.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
And that one was very different and kind. And
the friend.
Yeah.
She was a little rude about the returning thing, but that's just like, a little
I'd
bit
be annoyed if it took my friend a really long
I'd be like,
time.
What did you need it for?
I want this to you. Like,
or I would have been
weeks
like,
ago.
You couldn't call me? Like, you couldn't write me a letter?
Yeah.
She did
it
write her
in
a
the
letter.
Paper.
Oh, right.
She said, I'm repairing the class.
Right. But, since she bought her a fucking diamond necklace.
Oh my God.
Fucking insane. That good work, Brett.
Good work, Brad.
Good
that was
Brad.
A good story. Yeah. Yeah. Really great story. Thank you so much for reading this story. Oh, we have to grade it, right?
Yeah. Let's grade this shit.
Okay. I give this solid between A and A minus. I liked the story a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would give it like a B plus. Mm-hmm. Like it was very didactic. There was like a moral to the story. And,
yeah.
And it was in short format, but I would have liked to flesh out the characters a little bit more. Mm-hmm. What did the husband do? And
I'll say B plus, A minus.
Yeah.
Fluctuating.
Yeah.
Depending on which level, like what grade of English class I'm teaching.
Yeah, I agree.
I wonder, and maybe Brett might know this, was this translated from French? Yes. So this is also like the translation. So there might be nuances in French that we didn't quite get.
Very true.
Very it's a tricky language.
I'll give it an A minus on the assumption that there is probably like something extra.
A little nuggets.
Some like more color.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and reading a story with
this
us, Xander.
This is a delight. Yeah. I had so much fun.
Yay. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah. As you mentioned earlier, we're live. Season 2. We just wrapped on filming for it. So it's all done. And it's going to be coming out in October.
Yay.
And that's on Alpha, which is Geek and Sundry and Nerdist's like subscription model. It's like Netflix.
Cool.
Yeah. So
awesome.
That'll be coming out. And then we've got a couple of cons coming up for the end of con season. So as Library Bards, we'll be at Amazing Aloha Comic-Con in Hawaii.
Cool.
At the end of August. Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, and as an internet person, where can people find you on said internet?
Yeah. You can find me all over at Xanderific. That's with two R's and one F. And then at Library Bards. It's the band. It's like Library Cards, but with a B.
Yay.
Nice. Well, thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Yes, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank
I had so
you.
Much fun.
Yay. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to help out our show, you can leave us a lovely review on whatever podcast app of your choice. We appreciate the lovely reviews that we've been getting so far, and that's the best way to help our show because it's still pretty new.
Yeah. So we'll see you next story time.
I'm sorry, I need you to say that again, but in your French accent?
So we'll see you next story time.
I got you now, Mr. Bond.
And keep it lit.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.